Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Holy Spirit, just make the Word of God alive as it is in our hearts. May it just be like a sword and pierces things that we need to deal with, or comfort us in our affliction. Lord, thank you that whatever we need, you're there for us. Lord, help me in my weakness, that you would be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ever go through a hard time? No. We can say a lot of things about life. Life is joy. Life is love. But we can say one thing, life is hard sometimes, isn't it? And so a lot of the passages today and from the lectionary kind of tell us how to handle life when it gets hard. And of course, the book of Job is the first reading. And the book of Job, I've found some testimonies about the book of Job. I love the book of Job because it saved my faith in God. Job's honesty taught me that I can be a person of faith with questions and critiques, and that I can be honest with God about my questions and my feelings. Is that true? Can we just be real with God? Being real with God is called prayer. I mean, just being real with your struggles, with your hardships. Someone else wrote this: I lost my child, then the book of Job made sense. The book of Job gave us comfort. It showed us we weren't suffering more because we had sinned more. And in John Piper, the book of Job is a profound work of human suffering worthy of a lifetime of study and reflection. Now, over the years of being a pastor, many people have told me how the book of Job has ministered to them in hard times. It's been a comfort to them. It's been a great help to them. But I have to be real with you. When I get to the book of Job, when I'm reading through the Bible, I say, oh, no. Because there's so much repetition. It's chapter after chapter after chapter about his friends pointing the finger at him, accusing him. And the basic message is that they believe in a God that has to follow a rule, that if you're good, good things happen to you, and if you're bad, bad things happen to you. And so they believed in a God that had to follow that rule. And so they assumed that Job had done bad things. And so they kept trying to help him find what he had done bad. But we know from the beginning of the book that Job was a righteous man. It wasn't an issue. Can anybody understand why his friends would think maybe there's something he's done wrong? You know, a lot of the reasons I go through suffering in hard times is because of me, myself, and I. Making poor decisions, wrong decisions, prideful decisions, sinful decisions. So yeah, we can make decisions that cause suffering in our own life. And that's one of the sources of suffering. I think the greatest source of suffering in the world today is from other human beings. It's from other human beings. As you know, we built a well in the Congo, and I just recently read in a different part of the Congo than where we built the well, they had 60 Christians that were killed by ISIS. And in the Congo, there's 126 armed terror groups, 120 armed terror groups who are fighting for power, land, and valuable mineral resources, causing all kinds of destruction and death. What is that? That is humans causing pain and suffering to other humans. It's so sad. The greatest cause of the horrific suffering that happened during Holocaust, what was that? It was humans causing other humans to suffer. So the largest cause of human suffering is other human beings. So coming back to Job, the primary sources of Job's suffering was not Job or other humans. As a matter of fact, the Lord rebuked Job's friends. He said, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz and then to Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. But as Job's suffering began to increase, and if you know the book of Job, you know how much he suffered. As the book of Job talks about an increase in suffering, Job got to the point where he was demanding that God give him an explanation. Now let's remember, he said, God, I will follow you even if I get slayed. I mean, he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. He was a man that stayed true to God, even though there are all these hardships. But he began to ask, well, I need an explanation. I need an explanation. Ever feel that way? Is it hard to trust God when you can't figure it out? Is it hard to trust God when you can't figure it out? And so Job was asking for this explanation. But what he didn't realize is that his explanation, could he really understand if God explained it to him? Could he really understand if God sat down and explained it with him? One of my favorite illustrations has to do with my son Marty. Years ago, he was under 2 years old. He fell down, and he had to get stitches in his head. And so it was a Saturday. I called up the doctor. He was a member of our church. I said, my son, I'm pretty sure he needs stitches. He said, can you meet me at the office? I'll meet you at the office. So we go to the office. So it's just him and I. He says, hey, can you hold Marty still while I put the stitches in? Anybody ever have to do that? Yeah? Well, I don't know if this happened to you, but it sure happened to me. So Marty's looking at me like, you're my dad. You're my protector. I mean, this is all looks. And you're holding me down while this man hurts me. Do you think God feels like that sometimes? Now, I could have said, okay, well, listen, you need to understand about loss of blood. You need to understand about scars. You need to understand about bacteria. You need to understand about infection. And I explained all that to him. Would that have helped? Why not? Why not? Right? You know, there's two places in the Bible. This is really interesting, fascinating to me. Two places in the Bible that uses the illustration as high as the heavens are above the earth. Two places in the Bible. And let's remember this. I talked about this a few weeks ago, that at the speed of light, you go around the earth over 7 times in 1 second. That's how fast the speed of light is. The speed of light for us to get to the next galaxy, the closest one to us, the speed of light would take 70,000 years. The speed of light. The next galaxy, the closest one. How many galaxies are there? They estimate between 200 billion or 2 trillion galaxies. Is from the heavens, from the earth to the heavens, is that a pretty good distance? Two things he said about that. He said, this is how much I love you. As high as the heavens are above the earth. The other thing he says, my ways are as high as the heavens are above the earth. So his love, I think what he's saying to us is, you've got to trust me when things don't make sense to you. Because even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand. And then the Lord answered Job. Oh, by the way, that's Job's wife. Would you remember what Job's wife was telling him to do? Just curse God and die. I don't think they'd ever name her Barnabas for a gift of encouragement. Okay, the Lord answered Job out of the storm. And I don't know if the lectionary did this on purpose, but we heard about the storm in the boat with Jesus. He said, who is that darkness who darkens my counsel with words beyond knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, like a soldier. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? How would you answer that question if God asked you that? I wasn't even around. God is helping Job see how his limitation of time and space and history, whereas God is above time and space, he's above all of our experiences on earth. So he has a completely different understanding and worldview than we can have because he's outside of time and space. And then he goes on and asks a lot of questions for a few chapters about mostly about creation. But you see what he says here? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, what's it say? If you understand. So what's he trying to help Job say? Like what I felt with Marty. If I explained it to him, he couldn't really understand. If God explained it to us, we wouldn't understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who sketched a measuring line across it? Or where were its footings set? Or laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Well, this continues for a couple chapters, these kind of questions, referring mostly to creation. What were the purpose of all these questions? I like what Jack Hayford says. He said, God's questions to Job have turned all the why questions into the who questions. God's questions to Job have turned all the why questions into who questions. Our Lord answers all of Job's questions with himself. See, then the Lord. I think I've missed this. Job is asking all these questions, and then the Lord comes to Job. He comes to Job. Isn't that the best thing? Isn't it the presence of God? He comes to Job. That's our God. He cares about us. He loves us. He comes to us. Okay. And then this is Job's response after all the questions the Lord gives us. And I was talking about things I did not understand. So this is Job saying, things were too wonderful for me. I had heard about you before, but now, what's he say? But now I have seen you with my own eyes. What happened? Job had a deeper revelation of God. Is that one of the reasons we go through hardship in this world? To have a deeper revelation of God? Do anybody still struggle with some of the why questions? I do. I think of my friend Josh Corona, young man in our church, 20 years old, has a hard time even staying up vertical for a long time. They're not sure what's going on with him. He can't read. And Wendy and I pray every night for Josh. I meet with Josh. I pray with him. I give him communion. And I'm just believing that God's going to do something in his life. But I'm it's like, why is it taking so long? You ever feel that way? Why is it taking so long? Then I think of Alicia Greeley's testimony, where she talked about how her experience with God, because of the cancer she had to battle, brought her so close to God. That's what I hear Job saying. You know, I've seen you with my own eyes. I like the Amplified. Therefore, I now see, I have rashly uttered what I did not understand, two things wonderful for me, which I did not know. I've heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eyes see you. Is God in the business of redeeming? In a few minutes, we're going to have communion, and the communion is going to point us to the cross. Can we ever look at Jesus Christ crucified and say, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the suffering I'm experiencing. Did Jesus have to trust God in the midst of suffering? Was there redemption when he trusted God? I thank the Lord for the resurrection because the resurrection says that one day all suffering will be gone. No more tears, no more suffering. God's going to redeem all the suffering in the world. And so Jesus had to trust his Father when he prayed, when he surrendered his will to his Father in the garden. Jesus on the cross was taking on the guilt and shame of the world for us. God gave his own Son who suffered for us in our place, that we would not have to suffer eternity without God. His suffering reminds us that we never suffer alone. Never suffer alone. Philip Yancey wrote this about the message of Job. He's written a lot about suffering. He says, I once thought I knew what Job was about, the problem of suffering. Now I realize what I and many others do to the book of Job is a paradigm of what we do in life in general. We take a book about the battlefield of, what's it say? Faith and testing, and turn it into a book about suffering. Job is a book about how God can help somebody go through really hard times and come out on the other side. Our Lord becomes real to us in the storms of life. When Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, the disciples woke him and said, "What did the teacher, don't you care?" Is that a lie that can happen to us when we're going through a storm? God doesn't care. You know, Job's friends pointed at Job, but sometimes we can point at ourselves too and say, I'm going through this because I deserve it, because I'm bad or I've sinned or whatever. We can just say, well, God doesn't really care about me. Teacher, don't you care? That's a lie from the enemy. If we drowned. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Now, the Lord doesn't always stop the storm, does he? Sometimes he just helps us hang in there through the storm. But then there's victory in both ways. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. Job is about how God can give somebody the strength as they have faith in you. Simple message, trust in God. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Did Jesus become more real? Did Jesus reveal himself to them through the hard times of their life, through this storm? Did he become more real? Can God redeem the hard things we go through? And again, I think we can go to God and say, God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why things aren't changing faster. I think God understands that. We just are real with God. But God will make himself real to us. He will make himself real to us. And one of the ways he does it is through suffering and hardship. You know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor 40 years, some 40 years. Nobody has ever called me up and said, Marty, my marriage is wonderful. I'm getting paid more at work than I deserve. My kids are incredible. They're all going to prep schools and Ivy League schools. Everything is great. I know there's a God. I never get that call. What kind of calls do I get? Marty, we just found out I lost my job. Marty, I have to tell somebody, I'm addicted to alcohol. Marty, I just found out my mom has cancer. We get a lot of those calls. It's usually at the end of somebody's own resources is when they turn to God. Sad, but I think it's true. But God is there for us in the storms of life, in the joys of life, in the wonderful baptism we have, in when I just put my hand on Miriam, I just sensed the Holy Spirit. And he wanted words to come out. That's life with Jesus. But we can be real and authentic with God about what's going on in our lives. But ultimately, we trust that he knows what he's doing and that His ways are higher, as high as the heavens are above the earth, and his love is as high as the heavens above the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, just help us to celebrate that now, even as we receive communion. We just receive your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you that you're here to strengthen us in the storms of life. Thank you, Lord. We just bind any lie. I bind any right even now where somebody might be feeling God doesn't care about me. Lord, let them know. Reveal to them your love. And Lord, I thank you for Debbie and just how you revealed to her and that she submitted. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're a God that still speaks to us. Speak to us this week, and may we obey and follow you in all that you say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.